This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hedge funds get too expensive for one of the biggest pension funds in the land. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The California Public Employees Retirement System, better known as CalPERS, is the country's largest public pension fund with an enormous $300 billion in assets. So when CalPERS acts, investors take notice. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson is here to tell us about a change in strategy at CalPERS. Good morning, Tracy.
Morning, David.
What's happening here?
CalPERS is going to completely shed its $4 billion of hedge fund investments. They say they're just too complex and costly. Typically, hedge funds charge fees of about 2% of the assets you have invested with them, plus 20% of the returns they make. So that can really add up. CalPERS paid $135 million for fees for its last fiscal year. And hedge funds can also be relatively risky. CalPERS has said, quote, they will only take risk where we have a strong belief we will be rewarded for it.
All right, so what kind of returns were hedge funds bringing to CalPERS?
Well, an investment officer says this wasn't related to the performance of the funds, but CalPERS sets a goal of about 7.5% for return on its investments, and hedge funds were performing slightly under that. As a point of comparison, CalPERS overall earned 18% last year.
All right. So if $4 billion is not in hedge funds, where might it be? Where might it go?
TBD. CalPERS isn't saying yet, but it'll take about a year to get themselves fully out of these investments.
Reporter Tracy Samuelson, thank you very much.
Thank you.
New report from the Government Accountability Office confirms there is no escape from student loan debt. Sally Herships reports.
Betsy Mayette works with American Student Assistance, a nonprofit that helps families manage education debt. She says recently she heard from an older borrower.
He's 77. His wife is 82.
They both have health issues.
They're not going to work again, and they owe a significant amount in student debt, and they don't know how they're going to pay for it.
But the debt isn't just for their kids. It's also their own. The Government Accountability Office says between 2004 and 2010, the number of seniors with student loan debt quadrupled.
Older Americans have a lot more student loan debt than people realize.
Persis Yu is an attorney with the National Consumer Law Center. She says federal student loans never go away. They have no statute of limitations.
So if a borrower doesn't finish paying off a loan, they could be on the hook for the rest of their life.
Yu says if a senior defaults on a loan, their Social Security benefits could be garnished. The GAO says when that happens, additional fees can be involved, making it even harder to pay off the loan. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Thursday, the people of Scotland vote on whether they want to separate from the rest of the United Kingdom. Now, if they do, they'll be much better off economically, claim the pro-independence campaigners. But this claim is partly based on oil and the assumption that an independent Scotland would inherit the oil and natural gas that lies off its coast in the North Sea. Marketplace's veteran correspondent Stephen Beard filed this from Glasgow.
And an independent Scotland would be among the top 20 wealthiest countries in the world.
The independence campaign pins many of its hopes on North Sea oil.
Just imagine what we could do with our vast wealth and resources.
Once it's under Scotland's direct control, say the Yes campaigners, North Sea oil and gas will help pay for an even more generous welfare state. Some English observers are not impressed.
This is a greedy resource grab. They can be independent, but they've got to share the oil.
Oxford University economist Professor Paul Collier. He says that when oil was discovered in the North Sea in the 1960s, the British Parliament passed an act establishing that the resource belonged equally to every part of the UK. That somewhat reduces the share independent Scots would be entitled to.
They're about 8% of the population, and so they should get 8% of the oil.
The Yes campaigners are banking on more like 90%. But anyway, they've dismissed Collier's claim. Scottish entrepreneur Ivan McKee says Scotland will own everything that lies in its territorial waters, regardless of any British Act of Parliament.
After independence, whatever laws are passed by the Westminster Parliament won't actually be in effect in Scotland any more than a law that was passed in Westminster would have any jurisdiction in the USA.
But the Yes campaign's reliance on North Sea oil is shaky for another reason. Production's declined sharply. There's still plenty of fossil fuel there, but it's in deeper and rougher waters than before. Costs are rising. Anthony Rush is a retired executive based in Scotland who's an anti-independence campaigner.
Oil tax revenues are not going to be what they were, and that puts this idea that we're going to have free healthcare, free education, free this, that and the other, funded by oil, that puts that in severe doubt.
The independence campaign's response to all this is brisk. OK, North Sea oil faces challenges, but who can deny that it's still a valuable asset? In Glasgow, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And Apple thought it was doing customers a favor by giving out U2's new album for free to 500 million iTunes customers. Thing is, Apple pushed the Irish band's work into its devices without asking, and some people are really over U2 here in the year 2014. One person tweeted, "Honestly, putting this U2 album on my phone without permission is like force-feeding lamb to a vegetarian." Apple now has released a tool to pry the album loose. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.